Good evening, my beautiful friends. I've been waiting all week for this, just to connect with you, and hopefully you'll connect with us with your questions. And you know this favorite one that has come with me, Richard.
Who's that? Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
And we have, I think, a marvelous show tonight with a marvelous guest. And for those of you who get our email, you know that this is a special friend that we are speaking to tonight, a special friend that has recently crossed over to the other side, and he is willing to come and tell us what it is like when one crosses over from this dimension to the next, and he is willing to take your questions too. And so for those of you who are familiar, you know that we asked you to take place a picture in your mind's eye of the individual we're speaking to, but since you don't know this gentleman, we don't have a picture. But in your heart center, just listen and see if you can feel the energies that Richard is picking up from this special friend named John. And so, Richard, what are you sensing?
I experienced John's energy fairly centrally. It's quite a focused energy, quite almost singular in nature. There is, because it's very central, there's quite a love component, but also there's quite a power component. And this singularity of focus is how I experience John. It's not an experience that, in a sense, displays for me in this connection a lot of wisdom or complexity in that kind of manner. There is this, it's almost a simplicity of energy, and that's not to say it's a weak energy in any manner. It's quite powerful, but very singular. It reminds me a bit of the way I experience Max, interestingly, though a little to the left of where I would experience Max. It's very singular kind of energy, as I say, very unusual.
When you say singular, Richard, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's very often I will experience, for example, one of the masters in a broad way, this broad experience of energy, which in a way displays, in a sense, balance, in a sense, wisdom. And, you know, it's almost like if I were to, I obviously knew John, and I hadn't quite thought about it this way, and he didn't live his life exactly like this. And yet it's like he came with a single purpose to fulfill.
I see. Thank you.
And so there is this almost singularity about my experience of him.
Mm. Thank you for explaining that. Now, does John have a message for our listeners?
I don't know. Let's see. I am honored to be here to speak with you in this manner. When I lived my life, I really was not connected to this work that Carolyn and Richard were doing. I knew Carolyn very well for quite some years, and these kind of spiritual activities of hers seemed a little far-fetched to me, and yet I wasn't in denial of it because my wife had crossed over some years ago and I experienced her on more than one occasion. So it was not that I was in denial of the fact that souls continue to live beyond their life on earth or indeed that there wasn't a spiritual realm. It's just that for me, I did not focus on it to any particular extent, and I did not really connect with the focus that Carolyn had on this work, or indeed the focus that Carolyn and Richard had on this work. And indeed, I had no awareness of the suffering that she was going through until after I had crossed over. So you might say it was something of a surprise to me to find Carolyn in particular reaching out to me once I had crossed over. I had, you might say, supported Carolyn in many ways for a number of years before Richard came and began to work with her. And so we knew each other quite well. And so I, in a sense, witnessed the emergence of her spiritual work. And yet, as I say, it was not something that I felt any real connection with. And so to find myself coming forth in this manner, communicating through Richard to whoever listens to this radio show, either live or through the recording, it was not something that I would have conceived of as a possibility when I was alive, you might say, or before I crossed over. So it is something of an honor and something of a surprise and a little humbling to come forth in this manner. So do not think that I was in some manner a great spiritual being when I was on the planet, because I was not. And I have come to understand a lot more about who and what I was and what I represented since I have crossed over. And that in itself has been humbling for me to understand. I have come to understand that I am an aspect of, indeed, an archangel. And I had come forth to, even though I lived most of my life before I met Carolyn, I came forth to protect her for a period of time, even though I did not understand this, and yet I was drawn to that role. And perhaps that is the singularity that Richard feels. In a sense, there was not any great spiritual mission in the terms that you might examine it, and yet in another sense, there was a very real spiritual mission, given who I now understand Carolyn to be. And so I am honored to be asked to come forth in this way and to make this connection with you all. So this is the first thing I wished to convey. And I understand that I was invited to join you in this manner, to share with you my experience of moving, you might say, from that experience to this one, because in a sense that is what you do. And it is referred to as crossing over, and yet in a sense I didn't experience it in quite that manner. It is like a veil is drawn back. It is not as if I, as a soul, changed to any great degree through that transition. It's just that, you might say, my focal point changed. My awareness was within that dimension and within my physical body. And my physical body, when I passed over, was, you might say, fairly deteriorated in many ways. I was in my early 90s and had lived a difficult life in many ways, but I had also done things to ensure that I kept moving however I could go about that. And in many ways, I think that is the only reason that I lived as many years that I did, given some of the approaches I had taken to life and some of the things that I had suffered in my life. But I lived a long time. And as I say, my body was quite debilitated when I crossed over. And so I was very absorbed, you might say, by the suffering that I was experiencing before I chose to cross over. And I do recognize that I chose to give up that human experience. It had become too difficult for me, too challenging. And so I made the choice to cross over, as you call it. And I would really describe it, as I say, as a process of moving your awareness. It is like a freedom that suddenly comes forth. The human experience, as you probably appreciate, because you are likely to be someone who has walked something of a spiritual path, if you are listening to this radio show or listening to the recording. It's like a change of focus when you make this transition. It is like a freeing up. As I say, the living a human life is a very challenging and difficult thing to do at the best of times. I think for everyone, it is a challenging experience. And we really have, for the most part, very little idea of who and what we are at a soul level when we are living the human life. Some transcend those limitations to a great degree, but most do not. And so it was like a door opening, you might say. It was like a light being turned on as I realized, as my awareness, as my focus shifted. It really was like that. It's not as if I suffered in the transition, because I did not. It was, in a sense, a much easier place to be than inside and focused on a suffering, aged physical form. It was like a release, a freeing up. And I will say that there were angels there waiting for me when I began to make that transition. And it was not like it occurred in an instant. Rather, it was indeed a transition which took perhaps an hour, though it is difficult exactly to size this up. It's not like one moment I was completely focused on the physical body and in another I was focused elsewhere. Rather, there was this transition time that I sense was about an hour of your time. And as I said, as I began to make this transition, I became aware of a great deal of light that had not been in my awareness. And as I said, there were two angels awaiting me, waiting to guide me, to assist me, to help me understand what was happening. Because even though the soul comes forth from the monad and in a sense has that understanding, there is an aspect, if you will, of the egoic self that makes this transition. It's not like suddenly the wisdom of the soul, given its connection to the monad, switches everything on. There is a learning process, if you will, that awareness as the, what you call, what I have called the egoic self, goes through. It's a transition of sorts, an opening of a door. And so these angels come forth, and I understand this is a very normal process for those who transition. There are angels whose job it is to escort those who are in the process of crossing over, so that there is not this shock, this finding oneself in a strange experience that you had no expectation of. Rather, there are angels present to guide you through this transition. And as I said, the first experience was of this glowing light, and then I became aware of these angels who began to communicate with me and to let me know that everything was okay, and that I just needed to, you might say, hold their hands, energetically, of course, as they guided me away from the human experience, because that is the first part of the transition, to be comfortable releasing the physical form. And as I said, that transition took a little time. And once that is complete, then they help you to begin to, you might say, acclimatize or acclimate to this new dimension, is the best way I can express it. It is like I was set free. Free to see things and hear things and feel things in a way that I was not able to when I was in a physical body. And they guide and they speak with you, these angels, so you begin to get comfortable, to recognize that this is a perfectly normal process. There is nothing to be fearful of, that there is a guiding structure every step of the way. This process is well understood, and indeed it was fashioned, you might say, as part of the process which was put in place before the fall in Atlantis, so that when souls were leaving the very dense consciousness that exists on planet Earth, there was this support structure to guide souls back, you might say, into the higher dimensions. And so the first focus really is this acclimation process, acclimatization, getting comfortable with the fact that you are in a different experience. And they will spend as much time with you as you need to go through that process. So the first is really focused on avoiding an experience of shock as that focal point shifts. And then the process begins of beginning to become aware of the truth of who and what you are as a soul. And so this awareness point needs to begin to understand, this egoic self needs to begin to understand what it means to be a soul and the notion of a mission begins to come into your awareness, that indeed you agreed to do some things when you came forth. And so when you are ready, and there is no pressure upon the individual, when you are ready, you have the opportunity to begin to examine what were the key elements in your mission and to review, if you will, how you actually performed against those key issues. There is no judgment in any of this. Unless an individual has strayed from their mission to a very great degree, you might say came forth as a being focused upon the light and chose a very dark path, then there can be, in a sense, a form of retribution for such a situation. But that is rare. For the most part, it is simply a matter of the individual assessing for themselves how they performed, you might say, against that mission. And the initial time after crossing over is, in many ways, I feel a lot like when a child is born. There is just so much to learn, so much that you didn't know. I was not aware of the notion of a monad or what that might mean or what my monad was. And so all of this was something of a surprise to me. And of course, as you would recognize, putting some of that understanding in place once you have crossed over is a crucial part of beginning to move forward. So these are the first elements, if you will, that begin to come into place. And in many ways, for me, this was relatively rapid. And as I began to understand my mission and my relationships with Carolyn and to an extent also with Richard, so I was drawn to assist these two in any way that I could from this side. So perhaps those choices were a little different from where most souls might go, because once this understanding came into place and I realized that in fact I had already been doing this in a manner that I had not understood during my life. So it was in a sense a great joy for me to contribute in any way that I could from that side to assist with the very challenging journey that Carolyn has been called upon to walk. And so these perhaps give you a sense of the first threads, you might say, the first steps that were involved in this transitional process as I made my way from being, you might say, incarnated upon Earth to leaving that experience behind me.
Thank you, John. We miss you so much. You had been such a strong force in my life. And I have thanked you privately, but I'm taking the time to thank you publicly, because you truly did take great care of me, and I appreciate it. You did this on every level that was possible, and I owe you a great deal of gratitude, and I wanted to thank you for that. Now, discussing some aspects of what you described, it sounds to me like you had some choice. In other words, you could have still stayed in the body if you chose to do so. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, I was not forced to cross over in the moment that I crossed over. I made a choice, a conscious choice, that in a sense enough was enough. It was simply too challenging for me. I did not see a path forward from where I was, and so I chose consciously to cross over.
So would you say that's true for a lot of souls, that when they are incarnate that they can make that choice of crossing over or staying on what I would call this side? Have you found that out to be true?
It does seem that there are many souls that, you might say, pre-plan when they will cross over at the end of their lives. And this may be tied in with other souls, and their crossing over may serve a particular purpose. And so there is, it seems, a spectrum. For the most part, there is a level of choice that is exercised in the crossing over. Even those who might cross over as a result of, for example, great debilitation from illness or even from an accident, there is a choice that usually is exercised by the, you might say, egoic self to cross over, to choose that the path within life as it exists is no longer viable. And it may well be that even though that choice is being made, it is consistent with a point in their mission where that was in fact pre-planned. So it is complex in those situations. There is, in my assessment, a choice that is made in most cases by the egoic self to cross over. Clearly where the body is, you might say, blown apart by a bomb or something of that nature, there is not a lot of opportunity for the egoic self to remain in the physical form. And yet the transition for that egoic self, you might say, is not as traumatic as you might expect, because the experience is one of leaving that traumatic situation very quickly and really being an observer of it externally. So I trust this to an extent answers your question.
Oh, yes, it does. Do you remember consciously making that choice?
I do remember making that choice.
I was wondering how that worked. And thank you for explaining that. Now, you haven't been on the other side that long. And have you met other people that you loved and treasured and lived with when you were on this side? Have you met with them?
I found that my former wife, Janet, was waiting for me, indeed had been waiting for quite a long time. And so it was like she was part of the welcoming party when I crossed over. So indeed, Janet and I connected very quickly. And you might understand that when you leave the human experience, the experience of the soul, you might say, is not as singular as it is in that human experience. And so whilst I say that Janet was waiting for me, she was also doing other things while she was waiting, you might say. But it's not as if she put on hold her own learning and study and so on. It is a little like when you connect with, for example, me, as Richard is doing at this time, or anyone that you channel, they have on this side the ability to connect with you, but perhaps connect with another 50 or 100 people if they wish and do other things as well. There is not that singular focus. That is the human experience for the most part. So whilst Janet was waiting for me, she was also doing other things.
I heard about that before you discussed how people on the other side can do multiple forms of work at one time. I find that rather fascinating. I love that. So after you found yourself on the other side, you had two angels that helped guide you and explain to you what was happening. And was there a period where you were sort of going through your own information? It sounds this way, that perhaps you were examining what you had done during that past lifetime, or, you know, this lifetime that you just left. Is that the case? People review their actions, so to speak. Did that happen with you?
Yes, as I said earlier, it was something that I did, and it was something that it is usual to do relatively quickly after you cross over. There is no pressure to do it at any particular point, but it is very normal and natural, once you understand the nature of things, to conduct that review. And as I said, it is really a review for the most part that you conduct yourself. There is no one judging you for the most part, other than you assessing. Perhaps your monad has an interest in it also. But for the most part, it really is an assessment made by the soul itself relative to the mission, once you understand what that mission was.
Now that you've gotten to that point, I sense you were talking about how one learns. They go forward and start learning. Tell me about some of the things that souls learn about once they've gone through that procedure?
There are so many paths that a soul might take. It's like this smorgasbord of learning opportunities, if you will, that are available. And for the most part, I have been resting after I crossed over, and once I understood who and what I was, what I was focused upon, and yes, as I mentioned, I have been supporting what the two of you have been seeking to do to the best of my ability. But beyond that, I have not been focusing on any, you might say, learning path in particular, beyond building some understanding. So you might say, yes, there are some things that took my focus very quickly, as I have already shared, but beyond that, I am, you might say, taking a breather, as this transition is, you might say, a little disorienting to an extent. And so I am taking some time assessing the possibilities and the opportunities and just being with myself in this new understanding, this new appreciation of possibility. It's kind of like a butterfly coming out of its chrysalis. I now find myself to be a butterfly, and that experience of being able to fly in so many different directions is very liberating, but it is not something I wish to rush into, you might say. So you might say there are many forms of schools that you can participate in and learn so many things. And these schools are run, you might say, in a variety of dimensions and in a variety of locations. Once you move to this state, in a sense, you are not fixed in a particular place, because your awareness, your consciousness, can go to many different places. So there are many possibilities, and I am, as I say, simply, in a sense, biding my time a little. And this is not uncommon when souls cross over. It is not unusual for them to take a rest, take a break after the very challenging experience that a human incarnation represents.
Yes, I would understand that. And it seems from stories that I've heard from other souls, they go through a resting period, which makes a lot of sense. There's only so much that a person can become aware of. But this butterfly that you're talking about, I love. Do you know of, can you share with our audience what some of the experiences might be that a soul could explore once it was ready to move on from that resting period?
There are, for example, opportunities to examine the history of the cosmos, beginning with this cycle of Brahma, but indeed beyond that, to understand creation on a very broad level. There are the opportunities to build skills. For example, the ability to create in this dimension is very real. It is not like creating in the physical, as you will be able to do with the transition that awaits you, or in a sense that you actually do in the dimension you are in, though you do not look at it like this. So there really is the opportunity to walk these kind of paths. There is the opportunity to study the history of your monad, so that you understand all of the paths that your monad has sent forth fingers of consciousness to investigate. And let me tell you, that is a very, very broad subject for any monad. And so that's something that certainly draws me to begin to understand the totality of the experiences that have been engaged by my monad, and I suspect I will spend time in doing this. So this perhaps gives you some sense of just a few of the possibilities.
Well, that's very exciting, and I love hearing about that. When a soul is on the other side and they've taken their rest and they start to choose what areas they wish to focus upon and learn about, do you know if you start to meet those other fingers of consciousness that came from the monad? In other words, your monad over a period of time has sent forth a lot of souls to incarnate. Do you know if people get to meet those?
It is inevitable that you will meet some of them, and it requires, you might say, making something of a specialist focus to begin to understand all of them and indeed to connect with a large number of them. It takes focus and time and effort to do this, but certainly that option is there, and as I said, it is very normal to connect with a certain number of these once you have crossed over. There are those who have a close affinity with you as the soul that you are, and these inevitably come forth to connect with you.
Thank you. This is probably not something that you have done because it's too soon in the process, but when people are on the other side, do they influence those on this side?
In general, I would say it is not that they influence them. However, they certainly, in cases where they have a great love for an individual, they will seek to let them know that they are still present and that they wish to share that love with them and perhaps share a little knowledge with them. But there are some very clear guidelines about how you may influence a soul which continues to be incarnated, you might say. And so if that individual chooses to learn how to connect with the one that has crossed over and asks for their input, then that is a different matter. And you are free to then respond to those questions or that interest. But without that being expressed, there are very clear limitations. Of course, those walking a dark path are completely unrestricted, you might say. They choose to ignore such guidelines, and this is part of the issue. It's part of what is being resolved. They have no respect for the sovereignty of any other soul, of any other incarnated being. And this is, as I say, a key aspect of what is being resolved. However, putting that aside, it works as I have described.
Thank you. How about world events? Souls that have crossed over, do you know if they can influence world events? Now, I'm talking here about something positive, not anything negative from the dark.
There are many beings who are outside of that consciousness, who send positive energies, positive information. In so many ways, the context of the human experience, the human journey, has been defined by beings beyond that dimension. For example, the creator beings that created the planet and, in a sense, created the human physical form. Even more than that, created the dimensional structure in which you find yourself. So you might say there has been a great deal of influence placed upon the unfolding of the human experience upon the planet. However, if you look at more short-term events, for example, the decisions of countries to go to war with one another. To give you an example, usually these things will not be interfered with unless they transgress some key guidelines that have been put in place, and then beings who in fact may be incarnated beings with a body but not living in the human experience may actually come forth and intervene, not usually in a manner which is visible, but for example, an edict was put in place that there would be no explosion of major atomic weapons upon the planet in warlike activity. And there have been many occasions when such things have been prevented upon the planet. So this is an example where there will be some interceding, but for the most part, there is not an interceding of this nature. But if you look at the broader plan, for example, the unfolding that you two are involved in, and many that are listening to this recording or this live show are participating in, there is a great deal of influence that has been and is being applied to the unfolding of this. The alignments of the planets and the stars that occur in particular times to bring forth particular energies. These things are not accidental, and of course they represent an influence, an outside influence upon the human experience. So it depends on the nature of what it is that you are discussing.
John, I want to thank you so much for sharing this part of your journey with us and our listeners. And I'm certain you have helped to relieve a lot of people about their anxiety. And there are many people who have anxiety about crossing over because they don't know anything about it. And especially when the health is deteriorating, people become anxious. And so it's been a great pleasure hearing about your journey. But I also want to thank you for coming forth with this information, because there, I'm sure, are many people that you have helped them to think about this process and not be fearful of it. People are fearful, as you know, because it is an unknown world, that things are so disconnected between the two sides. And so what you have been able to do, I'm sure, is to help many people through your story understand that this is a natural process and nothing to fear. And so for this, I thank you, dear one. I also thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for your service. I have nothing but gratitude and love for you, dear John.
I am thankful for the opportunity to come forth in this way and perhaps make a contribution to others who are perhaps facing my circumstances, though if events unfold as I see them unfolding, this time of, you might say, darkness upon the planet will be soon at an end. And so the nature of the crossing over experience will transition, you might say, in as part of the ascension process. The nature of the choice to leave an incarnation will be a very different choice from the one that humanity is currently faced with. It will not occur in a situation where the body has deteriorated through aging and illness and disease, because those things will no longer arise. So I hope my words have been assistance to some, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and contribute in this way. As I said, it was not something I ever imagined that I would do.
Blessings to you.
I think it could be further from my thoughts.
Blessings to you, dear one. And we all love you. Thanks again. So, Richard, we have 10 minutes. And listening to John's conversation really did remind me of the readings that we do, the soul origin history.
In what way?
Well, because he's talking about the monad and, the missions, and it was very much reminding me of these readings that we do for people, the soul origin and history.
Yep.
He was talking about when you crossed over, you're able to become aware of it, in a sense, sort of like doing your own research. And these readings that we do for people is sort of like, as I was feeling, bringing forth that information while they are in this dimension.
Indeed.
And, I could just see how valuable that was.
It really is amazing to see the information that comes forth and the connection that people have with those readings as they absorb them. And I find it interesting hearing the stories coming back from those that have received them, talking about how many times they listen to them or read them to just absorb all that they contain. They're a pretty profound experience, I think, for everyone that has received them.
Yes, the history of the monad, the stream of fingers of consciousness that's sent to Earth, the missions, how they work with others. There is like this flow of life that, to me, is so interesting.
Indeed.
And
it's really is amazing material. And it's also been interesting doing some of these readings with Max in the last little while, bringing forth answers to people's questions. The questions cover an enormous variety of things, and they're very often questions that would not arise in any other manner of our work. So it's giving people a platform to ask the sorts of questions they would otherwise perhaps not get an answer to. So it's been quite fascinating. Some of them relate to Earth history. Often they relate to an individual's journey to an extent, relationships within families and so on. It's very interesting.
People's health, why some people have a health problem where the body's deteriorating. I found that interesting with what Max is bringing forth too, because some of it just wouldn't occur to you.
Yes, that piece that we brought forth about the impact of vaccinations and how they've impacted people in various ways and so on. It's perhaps something that we might look at sharing because it's very interesting.
Yes, that vaccinations impact young people differently than they impact the older person. I thought that was interesting, too, that a person who has had many years on Earth could still have effects from a vaccination.
Indeed.
Well, Richard, we have 6 minutes.
We do. What would you like to talk about, Carolyn?
Well, I was intrigued by a reading that we're working on now and how each of the monads are attracted to a specific kind of work and how when the monads were created that they were created with, sound, different lights, and the lights, the character of the light that was used when the monad was created sets up an inclination as to where the monad wishes to work. In other words, what field of endeavor it chooses to follow. And I thought that was interesting to understand why your monad was, that there was some sort of order as to why your monad chose the kind of work that it does, and that it is basically sending forth the fingers of consciousness, which is us on this side, assists in that work. And it was all governed by this master plan that Prime Creator put into place. Some people just use the term God, but the Prime Creator in the center of the cosmos set up a master plan, and the monads were created to fulfill that tree of life so that it show a perfect picture of balance, and there was something there for every aspect of creation. I thought that was very interesting. We were just working on that today, for instance.
It is fascinating how that plan, you might say, is reflected in that way, coming forth, as you say, through sound and color. And in doing so, you might say, setting parameters for a particular monad to follow a particular direction or preference for the kind of work that it does. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, I was intrigued by the sense of order covering all of this.
Yes, very much so.
Very orderly. Sometimes on this side, we can't find reasons for things that happen. And then when you find the answer, it's like you have an aha moment. Yeah, I can understand that now. And that's why all these things are so helpful to people, whether it's working with the right side of the brain, which you do, whether it's exploring your soul history, whether it's connecting and getting your questions answered by Max. All these things have a place, and it brings this knowledge, as I believe, brings a great peace to the individual because they're starting to understand why things have happened in their lives. And I think that's extremely important because I would say there's a lot of people now who are confused about what is happening in their life and they don't have an understanding about it.
I would agree. I would agree. I find it just very interesting how the doors open for people that begin to connect with this work. And I find it very interesting when people come forth, for example, to do a right brain magic session or a keep life session when they haven't experienced a soul healing session. I find it very interesting because they come forth for those sessions usually carrying uncertainties, usually carrying angular energies that haven't been resolved. And so it's just very interesting to see the impact of the work that we do on people as we deal with them in other kinds of areas. So it's the power of this work is unmistakable in terms of its impact on people's lives. And it is one of the things that makes it such a joy to do.
Yes. I'm thinking in particular of a child that understood that they might have a problem with vaccination because it can cause many problems with a young child. And they knew before they come that there might be that possibility, but they chose to come anyway. I feel like something like that should give a parent great comfort to know that this child, before they came, had an understanding that perhaps that might happen, and yet they choose to come because of their mission.
Indeed. Yes, it's. I find it fascinating to find that people would make a soul choice, a mission choice, to bring forth an illness or an injury to serve a particular purpose, whether it be, for example, to trigger the awakening of another individual that's close to them or to trigger their own awakening through suffering and challenge. And yet it's very common.
Well, dear one, we have come to the end of our hour.
There you go.
So, for now, I say to all those who are listening, thanks for being here with us. And until the next time, good night for now.
Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you, John. Good night, everyone.